Title of the talk is American Recipe for Success. If you have heard me speak before, you know that I frequently criticize American public policy and foolish political points of view. It is easy to find examples of bad government policy and laws that waste the country's assets. There is also plenty of crime and corruption. The question is, how does this country, being America, with all of its faults, continue to be one of the safest, most prosperous, and freest places on earth? If it is so bad, why does the United States rank so high on many international comparisons? Most politicians like to point to democracy as the reason for American success, believing that democracy has made us rich and free. It has also become the central principle of U.S. foreign policy. Democracy is assumed to be the solution for the rest of the world's problems. The current optimism that democracy by itself will somehow usher in prosperity and peace elsewhere on the planet displays an abysmal unfamiliarity with American history and a fundamental misunderstanding of the reasons for America's own good fortunes. Democracy has little to do with American achievements. John Adams, our second president, accurately summarized the conditions necessary for America's long-term success. President Adams felt that American peace and prosperity was primarily dependent on the kind of citizens who lived in the country. He said, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other." In other words, our form of government would only work if a majority of the population were honest and basically law-abiding. The naive idea of exporting our Constitution or form of government to other countries under the label of democracy and expecting similar results is just as unlikely to succeed now as it was when John Adams originally said that it would not work. The historic success of the United States is not due to vague concepts of democracy as our present foreign policy preaches to the world at large. The American success story can largely be credited to three factors. Number one, government or the state interest was subordinated to the interest of the individual, subordinated. That is, to put below something. Simply stated, in America, the government could not come in and easily take your property, your money, or your freedom. Number two, for the first 150 years of the Republic, the majority of the population adhered, that is, they believed, in a Christian worldview and were, in fact, practicing Christians. As a result, the population was characteristically law-abiding and self-governing. That meant that most people were unlikely to take your property, your money, or your freedom. In 1831, French statesman, historian, and social philosopher Alexis de Tocqueville came to America to thoroughly investigate American society. He later reported, quote, "In the United States, the sovereign authority is religious. There is no country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America." That was in 1831. De Tocqueville also observed that A, Americans generally treated one another with honesty and kindness. That is, quote, "great austerity of manners," end quote. B, the reason that they treated each other with extraordinary goodwill was because of their Christian faith. Number three, the third reason for America's success was that Christians permeated the society at every level and frequently held positions of authority, power, and influence. In de Tocqueville's words again, quote, "Christianity reigned over the land without obstacle by universal consent." Whether in business, government, or education, Christians were not easily corrupted and were a redeeming and purifying influence on the society as a whole. Christian business people, Christian police, and government workers often prevented others from taking your property, your money, or your freedom. And they frequently protected the population with little or no reward for themselves. And as a result, America enjoyed extremely low levels of private and government corruption for the first 150 years of statehood. American success, then, is not due to democratic ideals, but to very basic benefits of personal freedom and security, together with low levels of public corruption. If you feel that the government or criminals will not destroy or steal your property and your money, you are probably going to invest in long-term assets like homes and businesses. On the other hand, if you suspect that you might lose your money by investing it in real estate or business, you will hide your money. Furthermore, if you have a large amount of money, you will probably hide it or invest it in a different country. America in the 21st century is not what it was in the 18th and 19th centuries, but it has inherited a system of government that still operates on some of the traditions and values established by the forefathers. sincere Christians who cannot be bribed and refuse to harm their neighbors no longer form a majority of the population, I'm sorry to say. But there are still a few around, together with non-Christians, who believe in traditional values like honesty and fair dealing. Together, they occasionally expose corruption and criminal activity when they find it, which accounts for relatively low levels of corruption and criminal activity in the United States even today. Safety and security in turn leads to what? Higher incomes and a relatively high quality of life. Although I am critical of many things in the United States, I do love my country for the freedom, security, and opportunities it offers. I also appreciate those laws and policies that still agree with the Constitution and the principles of moral excellence upon which the Republic was founded. Alexis de Tocqueville eloquently summarized the American recipe for success. Quote, "I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Thank you very much."